the Lord, because without him, we would not be here today. So, Father, I just thank you so very much for this day. For this is the day that you have made, God. And we make it a choice decision to be glad and to rejoice in it. So, Father, as your word leaves these lips of clay, God, I pray that it would set on the hearts of the hearers that's in here. Not only would it set on their heart, but it's going to cause them to even more so do what you've called them to do. And so, Father, today, Lord God, I lay it down. Today, Lord God, I give up. Today, Lord God, I submit myself to the anointing of God. Father, do what only you can do this way. Do what all you can do this day. And Father, we give you honor, we give you glory, and we do give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's bless the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. 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 My God, my God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. We've got to do what we tell our children before we ask for anything. We ought to be appreciative of what we already have. And so we give God honor, we give God glory, and we give him praise this morning. So again, as they say, I won't be before you long, but I will have to say and do what thus says the Lord this morning. Amen. And so I just thank God for you this morning. And so I know your protocol, and but we're just going to say, God, have your way. As I was sitting there, and I am going to move on, as I was sitting there, Sister Mrs. Catherine, I want to thank you that during this time you've held on to what God has given to you. I looked at that anointed praise team choir, and I thought, wow. Now, understand this. Some of you all know me, some of you don't, and some of you after the day, you will. But, and there's nothing wrong with it. Understand this. But it's good that you can keep your stance. It's okay to wear jeans, so don't nobody knock me. It's okay if you want to have a dress down. It's okay. It really is. But, I mean, when you go into the king's house, you are to represent and dress yourself like you're going to see the king. And so with that, I want to say thank you all. Thank you this morning. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I do love the Lord. But if I were to use for a thought, and I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to read one scripture because it looks like y'all believe in standing when the word goes. And that's a good thing. But God gave us grace, you know, because back then, pastor would be the one sitting doing the sermon and y'all would be standing. Oh, y'all remember that. Y'all would get it after a while. But if I would use for a thought this morning, it would be, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So say that with me. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Is listening. And I take that, and I pray you go back and read it in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And the key verse, I'm going to read it now, but I'll probably read it again, is in verse 10. It says, and the Lord came and stood, calling as other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Speak, for your servant is listening. And so I believe that's what you all are here for this morning, is to be listening. We've got to understand that, you know, we've got two ears so that we can hear, double hear what God has to say. And so take your seat if you can, unless y'all ready to just shout it out. And that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. So once again, and I know your pastor. Now I know you. Because you love teaching. And I say this to New Direction Word Church. Matter of fact, I want to thank you so much. One of my associate members are here, Minister Tony, his wife, which is, as they say, my lovely daughter. And my best friend, Sister Marlene, she's been coming every time I've been here. I want to say thank you so much for coming with me this morning. But amen. Thank you. Because if you're just going by yourself, you don't have anybody following you, you're just going for a walk. I mean, that's just the way it is. But I know that you have a pastor that teaches. Understand this. You cannot do what you don't understand. So once you understand it, now all excuses are gone because you understand. And so the next step is God is waiting for us to do what we understand. You know how you do your children many times. You tell them to do something, you come back, they come back, and you go, but why didn't you do this? You know what they say? But I didn't know. I didn't understand. So that's their excuse or reasoning for not doing what you asked them to do because they did not understand. And sometimes we do pastors that way. Sometimes we do family members. Sometimes we do our job that way. We don't do it because we don't understand. At least that's what we say. But I know Pastor James breaks it down so there's no excuse. And this morning, I want to go back and I want to read what God has for us this morning. All of us. Because understand, the word is what is called autotelic. That means everything is contained in the seed of the word. And whatever you need is in that seed. That's why all of you are in here today, and you may not need anything, or you may be here to get something to give to somebody else, or there are different needs in this house today. But because of the power of the word of God, we all can get our needs met. That's an awesome God we serve. That's an awesome God we serve. And so again, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Hear what the Lord has to say. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There were no frequent visions. Samuel continued to do what he'd been taught. Catch those words now. Samuel continued to do what he'd been taught, even though he had not had a personal encounter with the Lord. My. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. The ark of the covenant was one of the most instrumental symbols of faith and God's presence. There are some special things that was placed in the ark of the covenant. And those things were placed there so that we could remember them, so that we can have faith, we can hold on to it. But inside of the Ark of the Covenant was the Mosaic Law, which we would say the Ten Commandments. That's what they had back then. There was a pot of manna, and that's what manna means, is what is it? So there was a pot of manna. And for it being there, it was God's provision along the journey that leads to his promise. God is faithful that promised. The third thing was inside of the Ark of the Covenant was, it was Aaron's rod. And Aaron's rod represented authority. Aaron's rod represented great and mighty miracles that took place. He did some awesome things with that rod. I'll leave that open so you can be curious enough, if you don't know, to read it and see what God has for us. But on top of the Ark of the Covenant, it's called the mercy seat. And over the Ark of the Covenant, the angels, angelic wings hung over the top of that. But it was a covenant thing, because I know that Pastor has taught you all, and you've read it as well because you're scholars, that a certain point of time in history, that our sins had to be atoned for yearly. The priest would have to go in, you know, that he would be, you know, tied up, yoked up with a long rope just in case they didn't feel or hear any movement in there. They'd have to pull him out, Pastor. But he would go in there to atone for the people's sin, because drops of blood would be placed on that mercy seat. I don't know about you, but I've said, have mercy, Lord, on me so many times. I didn't say justice, God, justice, but I said, have mercy, God, have mercy. Oh, my God. And he honored that. He did just that. And so back to Scripture, verse 4 says, then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel said, here am I. And he ran to Eli, and he said, here am I, for you called me. But then Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back. Lie down. So what did Eli do? He went back and he laid down. Y'all know the story, but it's good to hear it in this way. And so again, the Lord called Samuel, but he went to Eli. You know, it's a good thing to know your shepherd's voice. There's a lot of talking going around in this world today, but it's important that you know your shepherd's voice. It's important that you know who's talking to you. But it's amazing, Pastor, they probably do you the same way. God might be calling them, but because you're so close to God, they come to you. And that's a good thing for a season. So here it is again. The Lord, he did, as I said, he called Eli again. And we do need to know our shepherd's voice. And here's verse 6 again. And the Lord called again Samuel. And Samuel rose and he went to Eli and he said, here am I, for you called me. But he said, I didn't call you, my son. Go back and lie down. That's why the songs that the praise team was ministering this morning, you all were on point. Because he knows each of our names. And he calls each of us by name. There's a whole lot of Catherines, but when he calls Sister Catherine, she knows that. And it's a good thing for him to call you and call you by name. And so what God is saying to us, and I want you to hear what God is saying, because this is a season, y'all, that we got to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. It's so imperative that we hear the voice of the Lord. And so, again, as I move on. So now here we are at verse 7. Now Samuel, but listen to this, and I'm going to open it up just a little bit more to you this morning. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Now we'll go on down. Understand this, verse 7. Now listen to this. You've read it, or if you heard me read it this morning. Samuel was taken to the temple as a young child, and he grew up in the temple. Matter of fact, he was sleeping near the Ark of the Covenant with all those wonderful things inside. Oh my God. But being taught by a prophet, he was. But he never had a personal encounter with the Lord. Oh my God, oh my God. You know, some people, they've gone to church for years. I mean years, they've gone to church, but have never had a personal encounter with God. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Some people have gone to church and they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They joined the church house, but Pastor, they never joined the Father's house. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Some people, and I pray it's none of you. I don't think that it is. This, we're talking about the church down the street. Oh, I don't even know about the church down the street, but I did pass it on my way in. Some of the people come to church, and they've never had a personal contact with your pastor. And sometimes people use that excuse, you know, they so busy. Oh, they do this and they do that, and, you know, I can't come to them. And, you know, sometimes somebody else say, well, you know they so busy. Come on and talk to me. But God is saying there is a reason why a pastor's been placed here. There's also an even greater reason why you're here, that you would hear the voice of your shepherd and the voice of a stranger you would not follow. That's what God is saying, part of what he is saying to us. And so God, listen, God, he wants us to have a personal relationship with him. He wants us to become intimate with him. Amen. He wants us to say the word intimacy, in, to, me, see. So he wants us to be able to come to him, and he wants to be able to come to us so that he can see the real us, because many times we put on the happy face when we come to God's house. And so maybe we really don't know, you really sort of don't really know your brothers and sisters unless you know them on the outside. Because once we come in the door, we put on, you know that song, put on a happy face. But I know nobody's in here that way. So God, I thank you. So hear what God is saying. Listen, this is a new season. We've got to be very sure that our anchor holds and our grip is on a solid rock. I mean, even the word says, apart from God cutting the time short, that none of us will be left, because that's how good he is at deceiving. Yeah. We say, that old devil, you know, he dumb. Listen, you degrading your God. When you say the devil's dumb, you degrading God, because he was second in command. Now you tell me, Pastor, I know you've got associates or however you name them. If they've been wholly following you and you've been imparting into them what God put in you, and somebody gonna call them dumb. That doesn't line up. That doesn't line up. So he's a trickster. He knows how to deceive. He knows what you like and what you don't like. He knows us even at an early child age. He studies us. And so while we're on the path, I don't know, God's sending me this way. While we're on the path of life, he's put obstacles there to try to trip us up. He knows our name as well. But he cannot call it like God. Nobody can do that but God. So hear what God is saying this morning. And so I understand. Here is Eli being in the temple all of these years, and that great prophet. Here's Samuel, you know, there to learn, and Eli wanting to pour into him, or is pouring into him. And Pastor, he hadn't had a personal encounter with the Lord. Now, this is sort of personal. I don't know why Word of Life Fellowship, y'all get me going personal when I come over here. But I remember, as my children was growing up, they were sort of like Eli. They were in ministry with us. They helped us in the ministry of helps. They helped us so much and so often, because we can pull on them, we can call on them, and they were there and they did the work of the ministry. But sometime I begin to think about this, but God forgive me, but we forgot to connect them with God before we connected them with doing. And a lot of times it causes the children to want astray, or may I say the PK children. But because of what God has placed into them, God will do what he said he'll do. He's faithful and he'll stand by his word, and he will see us and them through. And so that's, listen, we work in ministry because we are saved. So we want to do the work of the ministry. But we don't want to do so much work in the ministry that we leave out God. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So what God is saying to us this morning. So here our children are, they've grown up in ministry just like Samuel, but they haven't had that encounter with the Lord. And so now when Satan hits them, you got to understand, when there's a head, if he can't get to the head, he's going to get to the, or try to get to the next thing to them. And so now we've got to guard. We've got to put a watch. We've got to put the word, and we've got to put the prayer over our children in the name of Jesus. See, you hear what God is saying? We've got to give them that personal relationship with God, because soon they're going to have to make that quality decision as to serve God. That's why when a lot of our teenagers go off to college, they go off church. But if they've made that personal relationship, they're going to take Jesus with them wherever they go. The church slept through the time when they took prayer out. But if we get prayer in our children, they'll take it back to school. So now we've got to think different. We've got to do different in the name of Jesus. And so now we're back to verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he arose and he went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you called me." Then Eli perceived. Listen, you've got to have a pastor that can perceive and understand some spiritual things. A lot of you got things going on in your life, and you don't have an answer to it. And some of you are frustrated because you don't have an answer. And don't get offended, because it's everywhere. So you've got to have a man of God like you have, that you can go to, that he not only hears God, but he understands Satan's tactics. And so now Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said, "Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Are you listening this morning? Will you know your name if God called you? Would you know the voice of the Lord this morning? So here again, and the Lord came and stood calling as at other times. But this time, he said, "Samuel, Samuel." He called his name twice. And you know, you parents, you know how that is. At least some of the old school parents does. "Boy, don't let me call you twice." when they call you your first and your second name, you know something's about to go down. It's about to. And so, Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears. Speak, Lord, and your servant is listening." And so what God is really saying to us, this time the Lord called Samuel's name twice. Now this was double enunciation, which means that he called Samuel from heaven, first call. But the second call, he called him from the earth. That double enunciation. He called him twice. God will speak a thing from heaven, but he'll confirm it here on earth. But we have to be sensitive enough to hear the voice of the God. And so Back in the day, we've got to understand in this era, messages were very, very uncommon to go out to others. It would always go to the prophet or the priest or whomever they speak to them. But now there's a different season, and here the things change, and here's God wanting to speak to Samuel. And God is wanting to speak to some of you out there today. Yeah. He's just trying to get you to listen to him, because he does have something to say. Yeah. And understand, God, listen, it really is, y'all. It's about to be a new way of doing things. The message will change or has changed, but the word of God will never change. Amen. Because he's the same God today, yesterday, and forever. So here, it's going to be a new thing. And we can't be so set in our ways that we don't want to change. And you've got to understand that change isn't change until you change. But God really is, he's calling change this morning. And so as he speaks it from heaven, he's going to confirm it here on earth. So some of y'all, you're going to have to do what Samuel had to do. You're going to have to go back and lay down. And I'll explain that in just a little bit. But you got to remember, we've all got to remember. I remember. We've got to remember whatever God told you when it was light. You got to remember it through those dark times. Amen. Whatever he told me in the light. Now here I am going through almost, 7.5 years. It does sometimes feel like I'm in the dark. But as long as I got King Jesus, as long as I got King Jesus, oh my God, he's here and he's there for us in the name of Jesus. And so worshiping God and getting to know God for ourselves, we got to understand that Samuel wasn't a bad person. He was obedient. He was submissive. Because let me see you wake up out of your sleep 4 times and still go back and say and talk to God. Some of us, when God wakes us up in the morning, oh, God, please let me sleep. God, it's 3 o'clock. Jesus, please listen. He'll let you go back to sleep, but you're going to miss the message that he had for you at 3.
That's right.
That this word is for a mature church, Pastor. I guess that's why God having me to let it out here. See, you can't feed babies anything. Oh, my God. But I'm going to move on. Listen, we know Moses, he was expelled out of Egypt for 40 years, and he never heard one thing from God. 40 years? And never heard one thing from God? But God told him before those 40 years started, so now he had to remember what God told him. He had to remember that. But you got to remember what God tells us when he tells you. What he tells you when it's like, because you know, when we got a pocket full of money, you know, our children ain't going cuckoo and, you know, we're good to go. Oh, I mean, we read, Pastor, we read it. But when that dark season comes, we forget what God said. That's why you got to have a man of God that will help us remember. You got to be with a man of God that's done walk with you through some stuff. You got to be with a man, God, that will cry with you, that will laugh with you, that will pray with you, that'll give you the word when you don't want to hear it. That's the kind of pastor you've got this morning. Oh, my God. So here we are again, worshiping God, getting to know God for yourselves. I'm telling you, y'all, that is so, so vitally important. We've got to get to know God. And so understand this. And church, I'm constantly calling on, this ministry needs help, and this ministry needs help, and this ministry needs help. And the church does need help. But not any kind of help, just the right kind of help. And so if they're coming up to do because it needs to be done, And they missing out on knowing God so they really can do it right. There's going to be, as Pastor used to say, some situations. So again, so much attention really is being placed on, you know, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I dare not say that anymore. Y'all better quit giving y'all's mind away because you're going to need it one day. You keep giving them a piece of your mind and you see what's going to happen. Oh, I'm going to keep my peace because I'm going to keep my mind. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But we got to know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so today, just one word, if we can hear just one word from God, that it'll change any and every situation in our lives. And so when we go through a dry place in our lives, when we go to a point where, you know, God, I can't hear from you. I've asked you. You said you would reveal yourself. But God, I can't hear you. God, it just seems like I'm in a dark place right now. Remember what he's already told you. Yeah. Evidently, that hadn't been completed yet. Yeah. Just keep doing what God last told us to do, yeah, until we do hear from him again. Yeah. So with me, say, speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Your servant is listening.
Your servant is listening.
Hallelujah. I'm almost finished, y'all. I'm almost finished. But really, church, this is why I believe that God has allowed, you hear what I'm saying? That God has allowed this pandemic to come upon us. Because we've gotten away from family. We've gotten away from imparting into our children the way God has ordained us to. We've gotten away from that family prayer. We've gotten away from sitting down at the supper table and communing with one another. When I wanted to find out something about from my children, I'd make a big meal. We'd all sit around the table. They'd get to eating and talking and tell everything. That's true. Just because you've gathered them. I found out some stuff. I went, Lord. But God has a reason for these things. And so we got to get back. We got to pull the family together. Many people, even some Christians, they've taken this time to play instead of pray.
Amen.
God is calling us back to the way he's ordained it, the way he's ordained us. I'm almost finished, y'all. And so now we're asking other people to pray for us. Can't nobody pray like you for the situation you're in. So we've got to get back, not just a habit, but get back to the realness of praying, of going to God for ourselves.
Amen.
Nobody, you can, and some people are sincere when you ask them to pray. But some people, if they don't pray right then, they sort of forget.
Yeah.
They can't pray like you because they don't feel what you felt or what you're feeling now. Then they have sympathy for you, but they can't have empathy for you because they don't know. You tell somebody about a toothache and they say, oh, I bet that hurt. But if you've had toothache, oh, you're gonna feel that pain. So what is God saying? So we've got to understand. Listen, we need to pray. You've got a pastor and first lady, Sister Miss Catherine, whatever y'all call her. They're prayer warriors. They're standing on the wall. But you gotta, but it's one thing God showed me. You cannot pray for something you have to be disciplined for. Can't nobody pray? The men say, I want to be buff. You're not going to get buff with a trigger finger. You know what a trigger finger is? Y'all know what I'm doing. I don't have my phone, but you got the remote. You're not going to build no muscles doing that. You might build your finger up. But you're not going to build no. So why you going to ask me to pray for you to get buff when that's something you got to do?
Amen.
That's something you've got to do. You've got to do that. Amen.
Amen.
Do y'all love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
He does love you. He knows your name. So don't get discouraged if you think he's not calling you. Maybe you're not listening, or maybe it's not time for your call. But we've got to be patient and wait. We've got to understand. We've got to discipline ourselves. Oh, Jesus, I want to lose 10 pounds. Sister, will you pray with me so that I can lose 10 pounds? But don't start till after I finish eating this pound cake. You've got to be disciplined to just maybe eat one slice and not the whole cake or pie. So some things we got to be disciplined for, and we don't like discipline. This flesh doesn't like being buffeted. This flesh doesn't like for somebody to say no to, but we need to hear that in the name of Jesus. And so some things will only come out by prayer and fasting as well. But we've got to mature into this. We can't just pray them into it. We got to teach them until their muscles are developed. How are you going to deliver it when you go to the doctor and they give you the C word?
Amen.
When you've been taking a whole bottle of Tylenol trying to get rid of the headache. So we've got to build ourselves up in our most holy faith at this time. We do. Maturity is being able to remain consistent to your commitment long after your emotions are gone. And I mean, listen, I'm a woman, I'm a lady, so I know how those roller coaster emotions are. But we cannot be ruled by our emotions, because our emotions are fickle. I tell New Direction all the time, sometimes I feel like a nut, sometimes I don't. That's my feelings going up and down. But you got to be able to stay consistent and not go by your feelings. So we got to stay consistent to your commitments long after the emotions are gone. We cannot live by our feelings. Like, raise your hand, you married couples, raise your hand. Do you know apart from God and your decisions to your commitment, you be in divorce court too. But because you're committed, to the decision that you made, you're going to stay there. You're not going to give up in the name of Jesus. You must be consistent. I'm telling you, somebody needs to hear this. You got to be consistent in your marriage.
Yeah.
You got to be consistent in it. You grow in love. I don't know where that came from, probably the devil. That, you know, I fell in love. You on the phone talking all night. Hey, babe. Is you asleep? No, I ain't asleep. It's 3:00 in the morning and you consistent talking on the phone. You on the phone talking to your boo. No wonder you don't see him till Halloween. Because he's your boo and he only comes around once a year. But you got to be consistent. You've got to be consistent. You grow in love. But when you made your vows, you got to be committed to that. I don't know who am I talking to this morning. But God is saying you can't go by your feelings. You may have, you will have some dry spells in your marriage. But you got to think about those vows and the commitment you made. And you've got to stick to it in the name of Jesus. And let me help you. And I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on. Let me first, listen, men, I have to go to the men first. Men, when you're having those moments of intense fellowship and you're talking and your wife says, and furthermore, stop right there, don't go no further, because she done already checked it out. She got it all lined up, so you go on and surrender, because when she say furthermore, she already done checked it out. And to you ladies, when he says, let's just drop it, let it go, zip it. Just let it go. I'm telling you, your best interest is to let it go. Because you know when you let it go, it's going to go down. And when it goes down, that means you're in submission to him. And when he sees that you're in submission to him, he's going to do what you said anyway. It's the truth. Just go on and let it go. Y'all always sing, let God do it. But you won't let it go. You keep on bringing it up. But just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Oh, Jesus. Okay. I Pastor, I always get on this marriage thing. God is doing some work up in this place. I'm telling you, he is. I'm telling you, he is. Oh, God. Jesus. Ladies, everything that looks good, it is not good. Men, everything that looks good is not good. I just want to just help you out a little bit. I want to tell you that being responsible, men, is the new sexy. If you're not responsible, you can say, gone. You got to be responsible. I mean, listen, when a woman sees that a man is responsible, they're taking on their responsibility, ooh, she'll be singing your praises. But if you got a trigger finger man, you know there's going to be trouble. It's going to be trouble. Oh, my God. But God, he wants you to honor your commitment. Whether it's to your husband, to your wife, to your parents, to your pastor. Honor your commitment because God will reward you openly for that in the name of Jesus. And so we've got to stop getting tired when we're doing good. We look over there at Sally and Sam and they out party hard and doing good. And you go look at them, see how they prospering? No, you don't really see how they prospering. But you want to go with them instead of holding your ground with Christ. Oh, God, stop giving up so quick because you'll reap if you don't faint. You got to be consistent on the level where you are. You know, you look at all these TV movies and you look at all these beautiful housewives on whatever road, street, drive. And now you want to base your marriage on theirs? Listen, this is on television. They telling their vision, so why you want to take theirs? I mean, it's just common sense, y'all. So we're going to stop getting so tired. But the one thing, and I'm going to cut it short. Pastor, I appreciate you so much. You've been just like the Lord in these some 20-some years that we've known you. You've been the same. And for that, I'm so grateful. Through thick and thin, through the good times and the bad times, they've still been the same. They've been consistent. They've honored their commitment to Word of Life. And for that, I'm so grateful. But to get to the point, the main point, I'm just going to close this up and just finish it out talking to you. Do you remember in Matthew? Oh my God. This is what I'm saying. It's so important that you can lay it down, that you don't feel so bad sometimes when you're at your lowest point in your life. Because even when you're at your lowest point, you've still got 40% more to do in your body. And so, do you remember when Jesus got baptized, when Jesus went and who was that was baptizing him now? I knew y'all were scholars. John baptized Jesus. Now get this. Jesus had done no mighty miracles. He hadn't done anything so great. But this is what we do. When our children play football and they make a touchdown, woo! When they're playing basketball, they do that slam dunk. You go, yeah, that's my son, that's my son. But what if he didn't make a touchdown? What if he didn't make a basket? Is he still your son? What if he's gotten in some trouble and he's not in the stance of where you want to call him your son? But with Jesus, he had done nothing, no thing. But when he went down under the water, when he was dipped and plunged in the water, something happened down there. When he came up, the anointing of God filled him. The word says that the anointing came down like a dove and it lit upon his shoulders. And when that happened, God said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." He hadn't done a thing, not one iota or nothing as far as mighty miracles that he did after that. But God was confirming, he was affirming that Jesus was his son. And I'm telling you today, he's affirming that you are his son or his daughter. Some of you, you think if you don't work, you ain't nothing. But God has said, you something because you my son and you my daughter. You listen, great things can come about. He was affirming his son. And Pastor, we got to get back to affirming our children. The church can't take the place of our children.
That's right. Amen.
Because they're our children. But after God affirmed his son, what was the first miracle Jesus did? He turned water into wine. That's why marriage is so important. That's why we got to honor the commitment that we made to each other and to God. Because God honors marriage. And he affirmed it when Jesus came up out of the water. And so today, wherever you are, you may feel like you're down low. Go ahead and just go on down. When you go down, that means you're surrendering. But I'm telling you, when God brings you back up, when God brings you back up out of this stuff you've been in, I will know that you have been with God. I mean, you'll be like Moses. When you come up and come out, that glow will be on your face and everybody will say, "Oh, look at her." You're going to say, "Honey, listen, I've been down, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." So I'm telling you today, I'm standing here on the promises of God. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Oh, my God. My God.
Thank you.
Oh, God. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory.